This is seventh one is probably the continuation of the sixth one itself.
Yes, yes.
So it says that when a person knows that all beings are only the self and sees that self everywhere.
In all becomings, yes.
Yes, all the confusions and the sorrow ends.
Mm.
So the question is this, that I have known few people, very amongst the very enlightened ones, they used to get sad by looking at the pain of par dukh saras haram nahi bhai. Same we have also. So if realizing self in all beings eliminates personal sorrow, how does this realization address the suffering of others that one might still observe or feel?
So there are two things in it. Obviously, if you really realize, it doesn't say only personal sorrow. It realizes, it abolishes the sorrow of the world the way normally we experience it. I'll give you an example. So this is the seventh verse. So it says that there is no more any sorrow. Tatrako maha. So he is seeing oneness. So what the person sees is not the sorrow as, I mean, I'm not talking of this person. This person, or a person who feels sorrow like others do for someone else, it means his operating system is still the sattva. And probably there is a reflection of the self in the mind which has been taken for the authentic realization. That happens, that something gets reflected in the mind and we take it for the true realization. If there is true realization, there won't be sorrow, and not because you become indifferent, but because you see the real cause of suffering. The real cause of suffering is not the physical pain and all that. That is a thing which is happening, it'll touch you for a moment and pass away. But the real cause of suffering is always ignorance. That's why those who have realized, say Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa and Swami Vivekananda, they always speak about Buddha, removing the ignorance. So when you remove the ignorance, then you discover that the sorrow is originating because this person is holding on to the false identity, false self, and thereby he is continuing to suffer. Otherwise, even when there is a physical injury, illness, one can still be above suffering. So there is a pain, that's understood. If there is an illness, there you may have certain symptoms, there may be pain. But when the mind is not identified with the with that body, so it sees the pain as something outside, it sees the pain as something like a ripple which is passing, but inwardly remains completely untouched, not only one's own but others' suffering also. So the stress is on removing the real causes of suffering, and that's why I'll show a difference, like in people who have not realized it but have read about it, or somewhere mentally they have come to conceive it. How do they try to remove the suffering of the world? Generally by opening, say, free hospitals, or because people are suffering. So what happens when you open free hospital? You actually end up multiplying diseases, because they have not understood yet that the real cause of suffering is the false identification with the ego. So while hospitals should be there and free hospital, all that is fine, but a spiritual man's task is not that. Spiritual man's task is to awaken a person to the real self. That's his job description. So when those have really realized, say Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa, see, now the mission is opening all kinds of philanthropic activities. But if you look at it, neither Sri Ramakrishna nor Swami Vivekananda, they stressed on that. Swami Vivekananda later on in one of his, serve the poor, so people use that letter. But they didn't talk about it. They didn't say go out and, somebody who is in pain, you go and relieve, you apply balm. No. So the real cause of suffering goes away because one sees. Say she was suffering, we go back to that. Why is she was suffering? At Sati's death. So Shiva is suffering because he sees that there is a world which Daksha has created where there is no place for the eternal. So the suffering changes from adhibhautik to adhidevik, where you realize man is a helpless prey to the scroll of fate, even though he has the guidance, divine beings come and want him to come out. They give the whole, script and everything, but man is unwilling to move. So that makes them, it's like telling a child that this will help you to, overcome your weakness, but the child doesn't want to do it.
So an enlightened person, does he or not get affected by the sorrows of the others?
Not the way human beings are. Not the way ordinarily we are. Means, oh my God, he's having so much pain. No. But he looks at the sorrow very calmly. But understand this is a real cause. If he has to give a remedy, for example.
Suppose somebody comes to mother.
Ha.
And there are hundreds of people coming.
Yeah.
I don't have this, I have that, X, Y, Z. So
she had the power even to heal. So she is not just a Vedantin. So with mother and Sri Aurobindo, see, this we are talking in the framework of Isha Upanishad, which is limited.
Yes.
It is the framework of the Vedanta. Now with mother and Sri Aurobindo, all the powers was at their disposal. Sri Aurobindo could look at a person and heal him of his pain, not because he was suffering from that pain, but simply like a doctor heals. So he saw the person suffering and he would look. There are so many thousands of instances which Nirodha himself is doctor, he himself document. Sometimes it would be instantaneous, sometimes it would take time, sometimes it would take long, but it was not born with the sense of, oh, he's having pain, let me relieve.
They
it.
Not get sad by looking at the sadness
over. No, they understand the cause of the sadness, so they don't get affected by the sadness. They are filled with compassion. So I'll give you one other example. So Sri Aurobindo himself. So why was he doing this supramental yoga? Because of compassion. He realized that any amount of treatment that I may give, hospitals I may open, money I may give, whatever, or he or anybody may give, still the misery will remain because the operating system is a limited human consciousness. So unless the consciousness changes, there is no final remedy. So while you may use a temporary remedy, because immediately if somebody has a snake bite, you don't say, you know, wait for the supramental consciousness. If you have it, probably you will treat it also. He has done that also, you know, that instant brought back a dead to life, a dead cat. So that one can do, even materialized human beings, but that's a different story. It will take us far from the Isha Upanishad. So, but within the framework of the Isha Upanishad, well, the person will not be affected the way that, oh my God, he has got a pain. That's pity. Neither just sympathy, but compassion that, oh, as long as he remains identified with the body, he will have this problem. He will only replace one COVID for another variant. So he'll work towards awakening the other person to this deeper truth.
So that is not sorrow, but compassion.
That's not sorrow. Compassion. Of course he'll not be indifferent. He will not say, you people have continued to suffer. No. But he'll get the true causes and the true remedy.
Now, does the text imply that sorrow is an illusion? If it is an illusion, should it be disregarded? Or does it propose transcending sorrow? If yes, then what is the method recommended?
So there is no illusion in that sense. Sorrow is a perception. So perception is perception. Now we can say that we have a distorted perception of reality. We have a distorted perception of things as they are. Say for instance, somebody loses something which is precious. So there is sorrow.
Yes.
Okay. So now you can look at it another way. You can perceive it like, oh, this was what I was very attached to. This is a famous story of a Mughal empress who had taken to yoga, that a very precious mirror from China that gets broken, and the slave girl comes and says, Begum si shai chin shikast, and she's waiting for the decree that the glass from China has broken. So she remains quiet, the empress, and then says, Khub shud, acha, nice, samane khud bhi ni shikast, the instrument which was flattering me every day has been broken. So there is a change of perception. So it's not illusion. Illusion means it's non-existent. Well, it is there, but if you have a limited perception, you will suffer. Like a child suffers when parents are angry. Child's world is broken. If the father or mother ever, you know, shout or get angry. But a grown-up person understands that my mom and dad did the same thing. So it's not illusion. It's not transcending in the sense that sorrow is continuing but you have gone above it, but there is a changed perception. That's how Buddha puts it. Buddha ultimately talks about the problem of suffering.
Yes,
he says about right perception as the first step. So even in psychotherapy and counseling, this is how the whole, first you must perceive correctly. Right perception, right understanding, right judgment, right action. So first perceive, or a problem may be just a small little bit and your mind is blowing it out of proportion. So ultimately it's all about perception. It can go ultimately, can by perception we can cure ourselves of physical pain. Yes, at some point of time even that is possible. Why? Because pain is a mechanism devised by nature. So we get pain because it's a defense mechanism. So transcending pain does not mean that, you know, I stop then bothering about, you know, again I have been cut, injured, and I say, no, I am transcending pain. You'll do what you have to do. But there is a possibility that the human body itself, the nervous system, can be trained in such a way that it doesn't give those pain perception. Though you are noticing an injury and you are doing what you have to do with it. Yogis have described this. In samadhi states, this is known. So even the perception to pain can change. Shobindo, when his leg was fractured, that's how people were surprised that he is just lying like, Nirodha described, like a golden Purusha. And when they were moving the leg, they asked, is it causing suffering? Shobindo just smiled and said, one is above suffering. So it's true that one transcends. Then they ask them, then what were you doing during that period? He says that I was trying to transmute physical pain into ananda. I had done it earlier, but this was very intense, so I had to little bit concentrate to do it. He had done it when he was bit by a scorpion in Calcutta. That pain can be transmuted into ananda. Of course, Isha Upanishad doesn't talk about it, but it opens the door to that possibility. You mind if I take my tea? Huh. Yes.
If confusion and sorrow end with the realization of oneness, what drives enlightened beings to remain active in the world instead of withdrawing?
Oh, very much. They are much more. Truly enlightened being is much more. Sarva bhut hite rata is the word of the Gita. And lok sangrahat. So these are the two big motives. So sarva bhutite rata means they are enlightened, but the world is in a state of suffering and sorrow. So Buddha went all around giving sermons. Guru Nanak went as far as Mecca. So when they have understood, like a doctor who understands, makes a discovery. So he gives, shares his discovery with others. So one reason is sarva bhutite rata. They are ever engaged in the good of all creatures. This good has nothing to do with opening hospitals again. The doctor, because that's anybody is doing. So that doesn't make one a yogi. And because they have understood that as long as human beings are in ignorance, they must. So they are masters who continue to remain engaged in the world. Or what is the motive behind sarvabhut hitirata? Luk sangrahart. That means the march of mankind is moving towards a great goal. So they participate in that movement toward the great goal, even though they are inwardly free like a Jivan Mukta. So Sri Krishna says that, well, I have nothing to gain. Yet, if I don't work, these worlds will cease to exist. So because we are each a part in the whole chain, and even when I am inwardly free and I know the whole purpose, I must fulfill my little role. Maybe it's sweeping the floor, maybe it's fighting the battle, doesn't matter. Then all these go away. But you have to do that role. But you are no more doing it for the sake of ambition or desire. You are doing it because this has been assigned to you, to put it that way, by the divine himself. You have a place in the universe and you must do it well. If tomorrow you are removed from it, fine. If tomorrow you have to move away from that, that is also fine. So this is the basis of action of the divine man or a spiritually awakened person.
Now we move on to the next one. So there is the famous concept of neti neti, not this, not this. But here in the 8th verse it says, it describes what it is. It gives a glimpse into, you know, what it is. It says that he is everywhere, bright, without body, akaya, without blemish, without sinews, pure, untouched by wrong. He is the seer, the thinker, above all self-born. He arranges all things rightly for all ages. So a glimpse into what the self could be. Now, if the self is described as bodiless, akayam, how can we reconcile this with the fact that we experience life through our physical body?
Yes.
Does this suggest that our physical experiences like pain or pleasure are somehow less real or unimportant.
No, it's like the bodiless takes a body, and the whole universe is like that, if you look at it that way. How do we experience love to begin with? We experience it as a feeling. Even before a feeling, it exists. We can't say that love exists only when I experience it. It exists. In creation it exists as an impersonal truth, holding the atoms, holding the stars. Love exists as a power that binds creation. Now, in an individual, that love, when it manifests, it takes a body. First it's a body of feelings. Then the feelings climb into thought. It takes a movement of thought. Then it takes a very concrete physical experience, expression of love, maybe the gesture of giving a gift. So now love is an impersonal bodiless force, but it takes bodies in the universe. So that way all creation is at once formless and form. So form is to manifest what is hidden in the formless. But in the process of taking a form, all the distortions come in. That's because of the complexity of the universe that Isha doesn't describe, but that's why it comes in. Because in the process of taking a form or a body, by its nature, body means or a form means limiting. So when you limit an infinite consciousness into finite things, so the divine is in this also, is infinite, but the experience is of a bread. The divine is in the cup of tea also, but his experience is as a finite little liquid. So, but because the infinite is there in every finite, that's what the other sloka which you sent about, you know, vidyancha, vidyancha. So because the finite is behind, it is always the infinite. Infinite has become finite. So how much ever it compresses into ignorance, there is a natural tendency for the finite to reclaim its infinity. So that creates a tussle. So in ignorance, how do we try to create it? By acquiring this, acquiring that, 100 thing. But when you discover the divine, then you know you already have that infinity with you, and now you give it, you are sharing it. It's like when a person, people often come, you know, they are feeling deprived because their parents didn't love them enough, or their spouse doesn't love them, children don't love them. But when you open to the divine, divine love, then you are full. But you are a little finite being, but you are full with that divine love, which is infinite. So they don't need to go anywhere to seek love. But they become conduits for flowing of the divine love into this world. So that's how bodiless and the body play together. You can take a third example. In the story of Ganga, you know perhaps how how Ganga came into existence. Bhagirath is that comes much later. So Ganga is Narad is going on the celestial worlds, and he sees some Gandharvas are crying. So he tells them, what has happened to you? Why are you crying? They are all got deformed body. So Gandharva, celestial musician. So he says that people on earth are completely distorting music, so you know it has impacted us. He says, how can it be corrected? He says, someone has to play the original music again for us to come out of this spell and be restored to wholeness. So Narad says, who? He says, only Shiva. He can play the perfect music. The Nad originates. So they go to Shiva, and Shiva says, I am cutting a long story short. Shiva says, to play the music or to dance, I need an audience. So who can become an audience? So Brahma and Vishnu become the audience. Who can be an audience to Shiva? And as he plays the damru and the music and the dance, Vishnu Bhagwan is full of most purest feelings that one can ever imagine. Those emotions rise in his heart. They were there as an unmanifested, but they rise. So as these emotions rise and their energy of purifying energy, so Brahmaji is always on the lookout that, you know, some new material for creation. So he takes it in his kamandalu. So Ganga remains in his kamandalu for a long time before the incidents of Sagar and then Bhagirath, 60,000 sons, then three generations, tapasya, finally coming. So Ganga as an arup state existed always, otherwise it couldn't have come. There is nothing like magic. So it existed in the heart of the preserver of the worlds as a sublime emotion which can purify all things. Then it goes through its roop in the celestial worlds. And then it takes a roop on the physical plane. On the physical plane, in the origin, you will find its purest form. But till Ganga Sagar, it becomes dirty and mixed. Yet, the purifying effect continues. I mean, I'm talking of the story. That whether it's not said that if you take in Ganga Sagar, it won't have a purifying effect. It continues to be there. Because its essence is of that. So same way we have to see the self as the pure being. Then sa paryar gacchata. It's going into creation and it's entering the bodiless, taking the body, finite bodies, and in the process getting distorted. But yet the self remains undistorted. So this is how one has to see it as a one single continuum.
Talking about that, so we have Chidambaram over here.
Yes,
so
I know.
He said that Nataraj, he did
yes.
And the audience was, what is that, Patanjali and Vyagrabad were the audience here. And on top north, there is Rudra Prayag.
Yes, I've been there, yes.
Rudra Prayag, there it is said that Shiva imparted the sound, music to Narad.
Yes,
he taught him Veena and Samved was...
Yes. So that's how in things are in their origin pure. But when they come to the earth, something of that touch will always remain. And those who are ready can go through that and enter into contact. So I use this little humorous example that Hari ki bansuri to Hari ki bansuri hai. Hari prasad ki bansuri Hari ka prasad hai. Lekin agar tum tayyar ho, to tum us bansuri ke madhyam se Krishna se sampark kar loge. Kyunki, you know, you are full of that feeling. So Hari Prasad must also forget himself and the listener should also forget himself. Then they will contact something. Because that is the origin. It's flowing through it.
Now, the verse claims the self is untouched by wrong.
Yes, so that's what. So, it's the same example of the Ganga.
Implying a state of purity beyond moral failings.
Yet,
in daily life, we all make mistakes and wrestle with guilt. Does this mean our wrong actions don't ultimately matter? Or that our true nature remains pure despite...
See, for a spiritual person, wrong and right doesn't exist. He sees things as ignorant knowledge and in ignorance, degrees of distortion. That's all he sees. So he never loses sight of the truth that there is a truth which gets distorted. Take an example of a blank sheet of paper. Supposing you gave me a blank sheet of paper. Let's say gold foil, you know, precious little thing. If it's 24 carat and just a foil, I can just, you know, do it and throw it like that. Does it, now it's distorted. Too. You can't do anything about from it unless you put it through the fire. But the gold, the value of the gold remains, it's exactly the same. So even though things get distorted in creation, their essence remains always the same. Now, to make this little thing come back to its original value, you can't easily undo it like I'll open it and make it flatten. If one fold, you can do it. But otherwise, you can't do it. So you have to make it pass through the test of fire. You can recreate the same gold foil because it's already there inside it in the same way. It's just that it got distorted. So good and bad is human way of seeing it. So there are different degrees of distortion. So if you have just a little one or two nicely folded sheets, it's good. But it is nevertheless, it's folded. It's not the original sheet which has been spread out. And when it gets completely kushur-muchur, crumble, then it's like, so what we call as bad is basically that. Many things which are bad are good in the making. And many things which we call as, you know, good today,
every
will become future.
Saint,
so what we call as bad today are good in the making. Also what we call good today will become bad tomorrow.
Yes.
So I give this example of Islam that, you know, it must have been fine in its origin. Arabia, barbaric people. So he made certain rules and regulations. But that same thing has become so dangerously bad, evil today. So If you don't bring the change, it continues to remain that. So this is how the divine beings look at good and bad. So shame, guilt has no meaning at all, because it's a process. You have to recover back your true identity. Shame and guilt don't help, they reinforce it. They make you feel, oh, you are a guilty person, you are a sinner. So that's a false identity. Spiritual cure is never like that. Spiritual cure is you are a beautiful being, a divine being. When you keep meditating upon that, which is a reverse meditation, then slowly all these things pass away from nature. A spiritual being doesn't struggle with these tendencies ignorantly by mental force and, you know, because what will people say? Moral is a very, it's required at a human level, but that's not how spiritual beings operate. Moral is needed when we are in a very crude state, then you need moral laws, rules. But a very moral being may be far from pure. I mean, Yudhishthir was moralistic. Bhurishrava was very moralistic. He didn't understand Krishna because he was into very strong right and wrong. There was the great family of Lord Rama who was with the Kauravas. Because he didn't understand that, you know, Krishna is right. Because Krishna was not right according to any of the moral standards. But he was right. The world knows today. And there was some straight looking at, you know what. But they were playing with, whether Pandu or Dhritarashtra, should the throne have gone to him. This is how the mind was playing. So they debate in Kuru assembly over what is right and what is wrong. Same with Balibad. So, but the divine beings don't see it like that. They see it purely as a distortion, as the dharma, which is, dharma is in a sense fulfilling the divine will. So purity in the spiritual sense is fulfilling the divine will. So when Arjun shoots the arrows and kills his own grandsire, he is pure. He is morally right. He is spiritually right. But when Karna does the same thing, and kills Abhimanyu and kills many others, he is not pure. Not because of morally, because his intent is very different. So purity lies in intent. If the intent is to open to the divine and fulfill his will, doesn't matter what you are doing. Was the action of Vyas Rishi right or wrong when three children were born through Niyoga? That's why the whole pratha was created. We may say morally wrong by modern standards, yes, which is largely Christian standard. Yes. It's not Hindu standard. But we all know he is right. That's how it is. Vyas Rishi was doing entirely when he looked within. One was his mother. He could also understand the lineage has to move on. And he consulted his own heart and knew, yes, he could engage in something which otherwise would be morally very wrong. So it's not moral right and wrong are largely action oriented. Ye kaam galat hai. Agar tum andar ka sansar dekhoge to kaun moral hai? Inner world of people is full of filth. One may not steal, but one is coveting. So phir baat to wahi ho gayi.
If the self is all knowing, kavi manishi. And sets each thing in its true place, Vyadhara. Why do we face confusion, unpredictability and chaos in our lives? Does this suggest our struggles are part of a hidden order? Or does it question the idea of personal control?
Right, so it's like this. Supposing we have placed everything here, there is an order in which the self has placed. But while the self is stable, this is an ever moving universe, Jagatyam Jagat. So constantly things are getting shuffled here and there. So there will be everything in its course of journeying will go through destruction of the old order so that the new order can emerge. This is an ongoing process in creation. So it's our conception that things are not in order, and you know, because we have a mentalized way of looking at it. Take the example of man-made gardens. So how do they make order? Nicely they will do trim and all that. Try doing any amount of, I'm sure you have seen, I have seen so many gardens, beautiful gardens all over the world. But if you go to a natural garden, a forest, you just cannot create that. It has come in a very wild way. I mean, I have grown up in a village. And I used to go every day morning to get some flowers for puja for my father. And there were mango trees on the way and wild grass. There would be a snake also somewhere hiding, some bushes, some. It creates a deep impact upon you, which is so amazing. It's hauntingly beautiful.
Yes.
Because, see, nature doesn't create order in a mentalized way. So our idea that things are disorderly or not in their place is because we are not able to see the flux and understand where they are going. But they are going towards a very high intended purpose. In the process, disorder will come, disorder by our conception. But he knows, it's like when you play with plasticine and you have made something, or a scientist does an experiment. So he reaches a point and then he undoes it. He says, no, I have to do something better. So he's learning and keep on doing something better. And in that process, it's like making a key for duplicate key. So something very similar, that there is a constant process of growth, progress taking place in this universe because there is a divine driving force behind it. But who is executing? Nature. Nature is ignorant, yet it must execute the order. Why? It must, because divine is already whatever he is. Forms have to become that. So it's trying. It creates a beautiful form, but still it's not divine. Pralaya. Then again there is growth, mind, heart, life. So she is working towards the highest divine order. Therefore things have to go through disorder, otherwise it will become stuck in the mud. So but people, we have very short life, so we look at, oh my God, kya ho gaya? Achha bhala sansar chal raha tha. Kya ho gaya? Dekh tere sansar ki halat kya ho gayi, Bhagwan. But that is required, because let's say, in the song only, it says ki, God, look at what has happened to the world. Kitna badal gaya insaan. Now, the person thinks ki, this is something bad. The point is, unless humanity goes through this phase, the person would remain stuck with that level. He would not go beyond. This is the whole problem. So therefore, there is a need for, you know, the disorder through which human beings move towards a higher order.
Now the most important thing. Somewhere I had read that there are three kinds of vasanas. They have vasana, and Shastra vasana is also one of them. In Upanishad also it is mentioned. Where I forgot. So this is probably a resemblance of that vidya and avidya. It says that those who cling only to avidya enter blind darkness. Deeper still is the darkness of those who cling to vidya.
Yeah.
Now, usually it is said that, you know, pursue vidya, you get yourself means from ignorance and all those. Here it says that those who pursue vidya, they also go into deeper darkness.
So, in
Bhagavad Gita also it is said that there is nothing in the world as purifying as knowledge.
Yes, so, but here the meaning of the word knowledge and vidya is used in a very different sense. In the original sense. So vidya is about oneness. And avidya is about multiplicity. So avidya is about the knowing thing. It's not an absence of knowledge. But it's a partial knowledge. That's how it is. Like if I know that, if I identify with my body. Let's take that example. So is it false? No, it is true. There is a body. I can't deny. I can't say I am a soul. I am a soul, but I also have a body. This is the total knowledge. But let's say many people don't know about the soul, don't care about it. They don't know even about mind and thought or feeling. They think body is all. This is avidya. This is not absence of knowledge, but it's a partial knowledge. Others say, okay, I have nothing to do with the body, I have nothing to do with the mind, I am only neti neti, as you said, you know, shivam shivam, I am only that. Now, this is what the Upanishad is saying, that if you do that, I am only Atma, Nirvikar, Nirvikalpo, then you are, yes, then you are missing out on the other truth. They are one continuum. Body's importance is because it's an instrument of the soul. The total reality will be vidyancha vidyancha yastudvedobhyamsa, which is what follows. So if I only say I am a soul, I am not a body, I'm to start with, it's easy to say but difficult to. But let's say one is realized. He says, what happens to my body, what happens to the mind, doesn't matter. That has led to the ruin of India. Ishupanishad pointed out long back. So people stopped, you know, what is the use of science, what is the use of engineering, what is the use of medicine, what is the use of anything? Because you are ultimately the soul. So that means you are denying the divine, the means of manifestation in the universe. It's like I'm saying I'm a writer. I have, let's say, music inside me. Now you tell me, sir, thoda sunaiye. Bolo nahi. Gaane ka kya fayda hai? Sir, baja ke dikhaiye. Mere paas koi instrument nahi hai. Music hai mere andar. बताने के लिए भी मुझे प्रकृति चाहिए मुंह से, तो इसको मैंने डिस्कार्ड कर दिया. सो म्यूजिक इज इन साइड, माई सोल हैज हर्ड द नाद ब्राह्मण, बट दैट नाद ब्राह्मण इज एब्सोल्युटली यूजलेस इफ इट कम्स एज फार एज इट कम्स टू द कलेक्टिव लाइफ ऑफ दिस क्रिएशन. सो इफ यू डेडिकेट योर सेल्फ टू ओनली दैट द सोल, द ट्रू सेल्फ, एंड यू कट दिस यूनिवर्स आउट ऑफ इट, देन यू हैव मिस द रियल मीनिंग of God's purpose in the world. That's why it says ki that is a greater blindness. Why it is called a greater blindness, that is also very interesting. Okay, you can read that. That pursuing avidya is blindness. Okay, but pursuing vidya is a greater blindness.
Yes.
So why it is a greater blindness? Because this blindness you can recover from. I know that, oh, I am a limited being, oh, I am thinking I am a body, but it's hurting me. Okay, tell me about the self. But if you say the self alone is true and all this is, you know, either untrue or illusion, you can't recover from this blindness because you have realized the highest that the soul can experience. So now how do you recover from that blindness? So that's why the Upanishadics, the seer, cautions that's a greater blindness. This fellow has a remedy. घूम रहा है दुनिया में, धक्के खा रहा है, थप्पड़ खा रहा है, कोई बोलता है कि भैया देखो ये शरीर ही नहीं हो, मन प्राणी नहीं हो, आत्मा भी कुछ है, अच्छा ऐसा है क्या? तो वो अब जो जागृत है उसको आप बोलेंगे संसार भी कुछ है, बोलेगा अरे छोड़ो, ये प्रॉब्लम. सो इट्स ए कॉल्ड ए ग्रेटर, नॉट सेइंग दैट इज इक्वली ए डार्कनेस ब्लाइंडनेस, ही इज सेइंग इट्स ए ग्रेटर ब्लाइंडनेस बिकॉज इट्स लाइक इफ यू आर डाजल्ड बाय द लाइट. There may be a snake right there which may bite you and the body goes, and then you say, doesn't matter, I am one with the light. But imagine the kind of chaos it is going to create in this universe. That's what happened in India. So that's why the Upanishad cautions. So you have to hold the two together. So instruments created by avidya are means to manifest the truth of oneness. So once we understand, it's a many, the same thing, bodiless and body, all the Upanishadic phrases run in that continuity. Same with asambhuti, sambhuti. So limitation, instruments are limited. I have a pen, ink, paper. It's all limited. But I can make out of it an immortal kriti like the Ramayana and the Mahabharata. Or Savitri for that matter. So that's where is the task. So I can't say ki I'll discard all these pen and typewriter. What have I got to do to learn with languages? But inside me there is a wonderful state, ananda. But that ananda is not expressed or manifested. But ananda seeks to manifest and express itself. That's why creation is, if you go back to the origin, it is the ananda which wants to play. So the creation has been brought into existence. So that's the whole problem.
Most people assume that spiritual knowledge is a direct path to wisdom and peace. Yet this verse suggests that such knowledge, when isolated from action, can plunge into deeper darkness than practical ignorance. This contradicts the everyday belief that more insight automatically leads to more light. What does this imply about the role of knowledge in personal growth and enlightenment.
So that's true. So if you take the spiritual point of view, then this knowledge and thought is also ignorance if you take it from the spiritual point of view. Because knowledge is oneness. Thought still moves in division. To take an example of reason. So how will my reason arrive at knowledge about you? So it'll start with, okay, that's your name, you're coming from there, that's your background, this how, you know, the surface personality. As I get to know a little more, I may deduce something about. So I am a thinker. I'm thinking so that I can act accordingly. But all this is still ignorance. I don't know yourself as long as I'm in ignorance. You would still be for me a personality constructed by nature. An unspiritual person will not look at it like a personality constructed by anything. He'll say, that's what that person is. So because he has thought about it. And then in action he will translate, you should be careful. Or you should be happy. The person is trustworthy. But either of them is still a construct of the mind in ignorance. So even thought, when it is moving in these circuits of ignorance, is still is ignorance, is avidya. So thought can help you in vidya if you start going behind appearances. It will take you to a point, but there will come a point where you have to drop the help of thought. So you know, when you stand before the idol of Rama, if you keep only, what a lovely idol, what a this thing, what a smile. Okay, fine, you get in touch. But if you have to understand what Rama represents, then that idol should become an occasion to enter into the deep truth of Rama. You know that Ek Ram Dashrath ka beta, Ek Ram hai Jagat Pasara, Ek Ram Ghadghad ka Vyas Basi, Ek Ram hai Sabse Nyara. So then you enter into that totality of the manifestation, which denies nothing. Dashrath ka beta Ram hai, sach hai. But Ram ki universal consciousness bhi hai, Ram transcendent bhi hai, Ram har ek ki hirde mein base hai. Aap either or nahi kar sakte hain. कई लोग करते हैं, इवन स्पिरिचुअल लाइफ में करते हैं कि नहीं, अब इसकी क्या जरूरत है, अब तो तुमने अंदर रियलाइज कर लिया. ये वन कंटिन्यूम है. दैट्स व्हाट इज ट्रूली स्पीकिंग अद्वैत शुड बी दैट, वेर यू डोंट कट रियलिटी इनटू टू बिट्स, क्रिएशन एंड द क्रिएटर, यू हैव कट इट. सो अद्वैत कैसे हुआ? तो आपने द्वैत तो ले आए ना, अब आप कह देते हो ये इल्यूजन है. बट इट्स नॉट ट्रू. वहाँ पे भी तो एक परसेप्शन है, लिमिटेड परसेप्शन है, और वो इवॉल्व करता है. इवन जब हम परसेप्शन की बात कर रहे थे, एक वर्म को आप कुछ खिलाना चाह रहे हो, या एक डॉग है, आप कुछ खिलाना चाह रहे हो, यू आर नॉट फ्रेंडली विद द डॉग. आप कुछ खाना लेके जा रहे हो, वो सस्पिशन में हो सकता है आपका हाथ काट ले. इट्स परसेप्शन इज यूर एनिमी. वही डॉग अपना परसेप्शन चेंज कर देता है आफ्टर सम टाइम कि नो, यू मीन गुड. सो वो लिमिटेड परसेप्शन से अल्टीमेटली डिवाइन परसेप्शन, लिमिटेड कॉग्निशन से डिवाइन कॉग्निशन. डिवाइन कॉग्निशन सीज एवरीथिंग साइमल्टेनियसली. इसलिए इंद्र, जो डिवाइन कॉग्निशन का एक प्रतिरूप है, उनको सहस्राक्ष कहा गया. हाँ, सहस्रनेत्र. सो ही इज सीइंग ऑल अराउंड एवरीवेयर. सो इट्स ए ग्लोबल कॉन्शियसनेस. सो पर for thought to become global, it has to reach a very, very high level. Ordinary thought is not a thought of, knowledge.
So, in the modern context, what can be considered vidya and what is avidya?
Yes.
If both can mislead, what stops an integral seeker from slipping back into either extreme?
Yes. So, if you create a totally unbridgeable gap, either or, both will mislead. But that's why the Upanishad gives that context before. That, you know, what is the solution Upanishad gives? It says you have to hold both. Vidyancha, vidyancha, yastha dvido bhyamsa. So how to hold both is, I have a phone. Phone by itself is avidya. My body would also, because they are all, avidya is separative consciousness. Separative, because prakriti has a higher prakriti also. Separative consciousness is me, it's my phone is my this thing. So it's all separative consciousness. Vidya is unity, that there is the same self within the phone as within me. How does it help me in using the phone? It's one self. So there is a greater darkness. It may paralyze me completely from action. I may completely cut off this whole world. Now, what is avidya? Mera phone hai, my phone. And you know, I must use it my way. And it can go to the extent that I must use it for my pleasure. It's meant for me to talk to my cherished ones and half an hour I'll spend talking. This is gross avidya. Vidya is, there is no phone, there is no person, because it's oneness. So oneness itself has two connotations. Avidya is multiplicity, divided and divisive consciousness, separative consciousness. Vidya is oneness. But this oneness has two connotations. One is oneself in all. But if we see the Upanishad carefully, it also says not only the self within, but all the becomings. So this one self is not just seated deep within as a stable, inactive principle. But it's also dynamically becoming all this. So it is also, it's like the same gold, this example which Vedantins give, and I am using that example, but to take it to another level. So they say that you have created different vessels out of gold. You can create a kangan, you can create a mukut, you can create. But the base thing is gold. So they use this example to say fundamentally it is one reality.
Yes, the water droplets in the ocean.
Yes. But is there no difference between the gold ka kangan and the gold ka crown and the gold ka coin? Difference hai. Forget even they may be the same cost. But somewhere it is about beauty. Something where it represents the conquest. Somewhere it represents art. Somewhere it has a value. So when we forget that, yes, it is the same gold which has become. So pure vidya means it's all gold. कुछ लोग होते हैं ना गोल्ड का सामान इकट्ठा कर लिया क्यों उसकी मनी में वैल्यू देख रहे हैं बट कुछ हैं जो उसमें केवल उसका गहना का खरीद लो अच्छा लग रहा है सुंदर लग रहा है तो केवल गहना खरीद लेना ये खरीद लेना सोने की चीजें बिकॉज दे आर नाई दे विल एड टू माई यू नो पीपल विल अप्रिशिएट मी दैट इज अविद्या एंड होल्डिंग इट ओनली दैट इट्स ऑल गोल्ड सो इट्स वैल्यू इज इन टर्म्स ऑफ मनी ओनली दैट्स Vidya, in, I'm giving an analogy. But to understand that the true value of gold lies in creating something beautiful out of it. That which only gold can make, steel cannot make. So when you understand, yes, it's gold, that is the one self in all beings. But to also understand that this multiplicity play, the play of division, of differentiation, it's not separated but is differentiated. So to play with this differentiation with the full knowledge that behind it there is always oneness is to live in truth, comprehensive integral truth. Again we gave another example. A mother has 5 children. So ask the mother, you love all? Yes, I love all. Do you love them all equally? I love equally. But you give more time to that boy. So then mother may say, because he's a sickly boy. Though I love all equally, but I am giving more attention to the boy who is sickly. So this is called vidya and avidya. Same love. But that love is expressing itself differently. The love for a father, love for a daughter, love for a spouse, love for grandfather, for guru. It's the same love. So that is oneness. The love that is binding the stars. But then when you play with the differentiation of the world, you can't go to a random person on the road and say, you know, I love you just as I love my spouse. You will be taken to the court. Because you have to understand this world of multiplicity, the manifold expression of Ananda. That's what it is meant for. If you cut off from that, all is one, all is same. Then it creates a problem, serious problem. And many people do it. Sab ek hai, Hindu Muslim ek hai, Sikh Isai ek hai. Ishwar Allah ek hai. This is dangerous because this will lead to andhatama pravishanti, greater darkness. It is the truth of essence, not the truth of manifestation. And I use this example. I said, Ishwar Allah tak baad mein jana. Pehle bolo ki jo ghar mein saap aur bichhu aapko bahar dikhai dete hain, usme aur aapka mitra, wo ek hai ki nahi hai? Ab aap deny nahi kar sakte ho ki Bhagwan to sab mein hai. Acha, theek hai. To kal se aap सांप को लाके उसको मित्र के जैसा व्यवहार करना, फीड हिम, होल्ड हिम, पुचकारो हिम, यू वोंट लिव टू सी अनदर डे. सो वाइल यू नो दैट दे आर वन इन अ सेंस, विद्या, व्हाट डज विद्या से, इट्स अबाउट वननेस. सो व्हेन यू नो दिस वननेस, इट लिबरेट्स यू फ्रॉम फियर ऑफ द स्नेक. यू डोंट किल अ स्नेक. जन्मे जय का नाग यज्ञ नहीं करोगे, ये सांप आ गया इसको मार डालो मार डालो, नहीं करोगे. उसमें भी ईश्वर है, आप उसको भय नहीं कर रहे हो. जुगुप्सा तत्व नाम जुगुप्सते, आप उससे भय नहीं कर, रिकॉयल नहीं कर रहे हो, ओ माई गॉड सांप कहाँ से आ गया, ये सब नहीं है आपके रिएक्शन. तो आप क्या करोगे सांप को, कि इसको अपनी जगह पर भेज दो, रितचित. सो दो मोर टाइम कंज्यूमिंग प्रोसेस, यू विल प्रॉब्ली कॉल अ स्नेक चार्मर, कॉल हिम एंड यू टेल हिम कि लुक हियर, इसकी अपनी जो जगह है वहाँ. तो आपके अंदर क्या है उस समय, करुणा है कि वो बेचारा तो क्या अवस्था में आ गया है, देखो कहाँ आ गया है, वो भी डरा डरा घूम रहा है, डर में काट रहा है, इज नॉट ए ईविल गाई. सो ये सारी प्रतिक्रियाएं आपकी चली जाएंगी. यू आर डीलिंग विद द स्नेक एज यू शुड डील विद द स्नेक, नोइंग दैट द डिवाइन ड्वेल्स इन द स्नेक ऑल्सो. उसको भी जगह मिली हुई है, तो उसको अपनी जगह में रहने तो बहुत अच्छी बात है. जगह से बाहर निकल के शहर में आके हैबिटेशन बनाएगा तो प्रॉब्लम है. तो ये एग्जाम्पल मैं बहुत जगह देता हूँ, जैसे फॉर एग्जाम्पल अभी इस्लामिक कॉन्क्वेस्ट के कंटेक्स्ट में देता हूँ. तो मैं कहता हूँ हाँ सब ठीक है, पर एक जगह बनी हुई है ना इस्लाम के लिए अरेबिया की डेजर्ट में, वहाँ उनके सारे रूल लागू होते हैं, आप रहो वहाँ पे. बट इफ़ यू से द होल वर्ल्ड शुड चेंज, इट्स लाइक द सर्पेंट्स कमिंग इन टू द सिटी, देन द सिटी ड्वेलर और द विलेज ड्वेलर हैज़ टू टेक डू समथिंग अबाउट इट, बिकॉज इट्स नॉट द प्लेस फॉर द सर्पेंट्स. दिस इज हाउ वन हैज़ टू अंडरस्टैंड, हर चीज़ की अपनी जगह है. इसीलिए सृष्टि के अंदर रितचित काम करता है, पुटिंग थिंग्स इन द राइट प्लेस, जो आपने वो पहले पढ़ा था. तो पुटिंग थिंग्स इन द राइट प्लेस, दैट्स हाउ दी द अवेकेंड वन हु नोज विद्या एंड अविद्या एज टू साइड्स ऑफ द सेम कॉइन. हर एक कॉइन के पीछे भारत का वो सिंह है, स्तंभ है, सत्यमेव जयते, दूसरी तरफ उसकी वैल्यू है. तो ये दोनों ट्रुथ जरूरी है, ये जानना है. तो वो दोनों का कॉम्बिनेशन.
एंड व्हाट स्टॉप्स एन इंटीग्रल सीकर फ्रॉम स्लिपिंग बैक इनटू ईदर एक्सट्रीम?
यस, सो ही मस्ट लिव दिस रियलिटी. अगर वो उसने अपनी चेतना में विभक्ति की हुई है कि नहीं भगवान और संसार में, तो वो तो बार बार स्लिप करेगा, यही तो होता रहा है. तो कई लोग बचने के लिए संन्यास ले लेते हैं. सो बेसिकली वट वुड प्रिवेंट यू इज प्रैक्टिस योगा इन द वर्ल्ड, दैट्स वॉट श्री कृष्णा सेज. इफ यू कम बैक टू दैट, दैट्स वाई यू सी, हाँ आश्रम में यू मस्ट हैव सीन, इट्स नॉट लाइक ए मोनेस्ट्री, पीपल डोंट अंडरस्टैंड. यहाँ वो आश्रमाइट के बगल से गुजर जाएंगे, पूछेंगे यहाँ आश्रमाइट कौन है, क्योंकि तो एक्सपेक्ट करें कोई तो ड्रेस कोड होगा, कुछ होगा, कुछ तो नहीं है. क्यों? क्योंकि योगा मस्ट बी कॉन्टर्मिनस विद द वर्ल्ड. सारा संसार है यहाँ, स्कूल है, आर्ट डिपार्टमेंट है, पॉटरी है, साइंस है, सोलर पैनल्स हैं, मेडिकल डिपार्टमेंट है, भोजन भंडार है, हैंडमेड पेपर है, आप यू नेम इट एंड इट इज देयर, बिकॉज द वर्ल्ड हैज टू बी ब्रॉट इन टू द फोल्ड ऑफ द डिवाइन. पर सेंटर का है मदर. सो दैट्स हाउ द इंटेक, कि हम सब चीजें कर रहे हैं लेकिन हम अब पैसे के लिए नहीं कर रहे हैं, एम्बिशन के लिए नहीं कर रहे हैं. आई एम सेइंग समबडी हू जेन्युइनली अ साधक, नॉट ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ पीपल वुड बी देयर, दे बीन ऑल्सो ब्रॉट टुगेदर, बट मदर के लिए कर रहे हैं. उससे मेरा नहीं बनता है लेकिन है तो वो भी माँ का बच्चा. आई एम बहुत मिनिएचर एग्जाम्पल दे रहा हूँ. तो तब एक आपके अंदर एक हारमोनी का नया बेसिस आता है. सो वेयर एज इफ यू स्टार्ट डीलिंग कि नहीं नहीं हो तो मैं संसार में फंस गया, उलझ गया, छोड़ के आश्रम आ जाऊँगा, तो मदर यूज टू से डोंट डू दैट. You can't, if you want that kind of life, go to Tiruvannamalai. She used to say that. तो ये विभक्ति चेतना में रहेगी, but the moment we understand that this world is a progressive manifestation of the divine, wherever we are, we would participate in that.
It is.
Otherwise, we'll slip.
Like Shankaracharya himself used to monasticism and illusionism.
बहुत उसकी छाप है. मैं तो आई कीप सेइंग दैट इफ इफ
नाउ इट इज द सेम थिंग इज रिटन राइट, इफ विद्या इज विद्या विल टेक यू टू डार्क ग्रेटर डार्कनेस.
एग्जैक्टली. सो
देन व्हाई हैव दे फेल्ड इन इंटरप्रेटिंग लुकिंग एट इट दिस वे. एंड
शंकराचार्य स्पेशली अब वो मैं क्या, अब मैं क्या बताऊं उसके बारे में कि क्यों ये हुआ, बिकॉज उसमें तो पूरा कहते ना यू आर ओपनिंग ए पेंडोरा बॉक्स, बट हुआ. सो आई कीप टेलिंग इट्स द वे दे इंटरप्रेटेड, द वे दे इवन लुक्ड एट द, इसमें सब कुछ है संस्कृत की जो है, एंड आई कैन अंडरस्टैंड मे बी द टाइम्स ऑफ शंकराचार्य एंड सब्सिक्वेंटली फॉर सम टाइम दे वर वेरी डिफिकल्ट टाइम, द वर्ल्ड वॉज इन ए इम्पॉसिबल स्टेट. माई ओन फीलिंग इज कि ऐसे संसार में वैराग्य होना अंडरस्टैंडेबल था. कॉन्क्वेस्ट हो रहे हैं, इन्वेशन हो रहे हैं, रेप हो रहे हैं, मर्डर हो रहे हैं, अरे ये संसार क्या है, आई अंडरस्टैंड दैट पार्ट. बट अगर श्रुति के हिसाब से हम अगर इसको डिक्लेयर कर रहे हैं कि वो ट्रूथ है तो वो गलत है. अब शेरविंद ने तो यहाँ तक कहा है कि इवन भगवद गीता के श्लोक और ईशा उपनिषद का वो कुर्वन्नेवे कर्माणी, नाउ इट हैज बीन रॉन्गली ट्वीक्ड बाय शंकराचार्य, एंड ही नाउ ही इज ए मास्टर लिंग्विस्टिक जिनको श्री कृष्ण ने निरुक्त दिया, तो उनसे तो कोई चैलेंज नहीं कर सकता है कि आप क्या कह रहे हो, इन्होंने कहा है. अब हुआ, सो दैट्स वाई कीप सेइंग कि स्पिरिचुअली इंडिया के अंदर दो अध्यात्म ज्ञान दो प्रकार के एग्जिस्ट करते हैं, एक जो श्री कृष्ण और उनके पहले का है या कुछ समय बाद का है, एक जो शंकराचार्य के बाद का है. तो अब इंडिया अगर शंकराचार्य के बाद वाला उसको ट्रुथ समझ के फॉलो करेगा तो फिर उसी डार्कनेस में जाएगा जिससे हम सोमनाथ का इन्वेजन हो रहा है, आप पकड़ के रो रहे हो देवताओं को, वो देवता कुछ करेंगे, आपकी इंस्ट्रूमेंटेशन कहाँ गई, आपका शरीर मन प्राण किस लिए था, सी दैट इज द डिफरेंस. वही एक शिवाजी गोविंद सिंह जी इंस्ट्रूमेंट बनते हैं ऑफ द ग्रैंड डिजाइन. तो ये आइडिया ना भगवान मैजिक करेंगे, कुछ बादल चमकेंगे, बिजली कड़केगी और गिर पड़ेगी आताइयों पर, वो मर जाएंगे, ऐसे नहीं होता है. इवोल्यूशन हो रहा है, यू हैव अ रोल. दैट्स व्हाई श्री कृष्णा सेज आई कैन डिस्ट्रॉय दिस एंटायर थिंग, आई हैव ऑलरेडी डिस्ट्रॉयड इन कॉन्शियसनेस. अरूप अवस्था में हो चुका है पर वो विल मैनिफेस्ट होगी इंस्ट्रूमेंटेशन के थ्रू. सो इन वो शंकरा ये है ही नहीं. हाँ कंटेम्प्ररी, इट्स ओनली इसको पावरफुली श्योरबिंदो बाहर लेके आए. आफ्टर श्री कृष्णा मेनी किंग्स फॉलोड दैट योगा ऑफ द गीता. विक्रमादित्य हैं, ऑफकोर्स बुद्धिज्म के बाद चेंज हुआ, अदरवाइज मेनी ग्रेट किंग्स, अजात शत्रु हुज नेम्स आर लीजेंडरी, जिन्होंने इसको फॉलो किया इस ट्रुथ को, फिर वो धीरे धीरे क्षीण हो गया. तो वही होता है कि धर्म से ग्लानी सो संभवामी योगे योगे. नाउ श्योरबिंदो इज रिवाइव्ड इट. एंड अगर वर्ल्ड के गुड के पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू से देखें तो दिस इज द ओनली वे, इंटेग्रल योगा अलोन कैन सेव द वर्ल्ड. अदरवाइज ऑलवेज देर विल बी मोनेस्टिक ऑर्डर, सम पीपल गोइंग इन टू मोनेस्ट्रीज एंड गिविंग लेक्चर्स टू दोज हु आर स्ट्रगलिंग विद लाइफ, एंड यू कांट, आई मीन आई टेल पीपल कि भाई तुमने यू हैव नेवर मैरिड, आई टेल सम सन्यासीज, आपको क्या मालूम है कि मैरिड लाइफ की प्रॉब्लम्स क्या होती है, आप किस आधार पर बोल रहे हो. सो बुरा भी लगता है, पर मैंने कभी कभी बोला है ना, यू हैव टू गो थ्रू द प्रोसेस टू अंडरस्टैंड. सिस्टम आपने देखा ही नहीं, आपने तो वहाँ से कह दिया नहीं नहीं सब भगवान है, तुम उसको भगवान मान के प्रेम करो. यू रियल लाइफ चैलेंजेस. सो वी यू आर क्वाइट राइट, इंटीग्रल योग का पूरा हिंट ईश में है, पार्शियल हिंट केन में है, बाकी सब उपनिषदों में, लेकिन पोस्ट शंकरा द इंटरप्रिटेशन हैज बीन एज इफ इट्स ओनली पॉइंटिंग टूवर्ड द सेल्फ एंड डिसरिगार्डिंग दिस मैनिफेस्टेशन. अब उन्होंने क्यों किया, कैसे समझा हो तो एक अब इट्स लास्ट फोरगोन कंक्लूजन.
इज द उपनिषद क्लेमिंग दैट द थिंकर इज इन मोर डेंजर देन द डूअर? व्हाट वुड अ पाथ विथ नो साइड्स एट ऑल, नाइदर विद्या नॉर अविद्या, लुक लाइक? बाय कॉलिंग बोथ वेज लैकिंग इज द वर्स हिंटिंग दैट द स्प्लिट outer versus inner is false and hides a third and paves a way to an unnamed path.
So I'll now reduce it to thinker, worker and the third. I am not going to vidya avidya because yes. As we said, yes. It would not apply.
Yes.
So absolutely true, a person only acts, doesn't care to know, will be a foolish, his some actions may be right, others may be stupid actions. But a person who is only a dreamer, idealist, it doesn't know how to realize this dream, he is equally, so at this level also it applies that a thinker who doesn't realize or work towards realizing what he is holding in his thought is useless for the world. He may be fine for himself.
Is he in a deeper trouble or?
He may not be troublesome, but you know, he has got his own ideas. But sometimes his ideas can be very dangerous because he may not realize, he may have thought about realizing it in one way. But there are people who will completely misunderstand it, as has happened even with great thoughts, and realize it in a very different way. Because they are not having that knowledge which the thinker is holding. Now I am using it a general way. So what is missing? As you said, is there a third point? Yes, there is a third point, that is will. So the right will is very important. It's the mediator between thought and action. If the will is false and perverted, then the highest thought I may misuse for my own purposes. Like people misuse.
Manipulation.
Sab Bhagwan hai. Koi kisi ko na maarta hai, na marta hai. To maine thodi tujhe mara hai. Gita mein likha hai. Na koi marta hai, na marta hai. What is happening? Will is perverted. रावण ने क्या किया? यही किया, अहम ब्रह्मास्मि, मैं ही भगवान हूं. आप कह नहीं सकते कि गलत हो, पर वो ये भूल गया सब भगवान है. तो उसने इसको ऐसे यूज किया, मैं ही भगवान हूं, भगवान जैसा परम शक्तिशाली मुझे बनना है, सबको अपने अधीन करना है. सो विल इज दैट पॉइंट विच इज मिसिंग. इनफैक्ट इन ऑलमोस्ट एवरी थिंकर, स्पिरिचुअल पर्सन, मैनी पीपल, हमारे स्कूल में इसकी ट्रेनिंग नहीं है. और जब तक विल करेक्ट नहीं होगी तो एक्शन आपका करेक्ट नहीं होगा, डिस्टॉर्टेड होगा. इवन अगर थिंकर रियलाइज करना चाहेगा उसकी विल करेक्ट नहीं है तो वो डिस्टॉर्ट हो जाएगी चीज.
स्वामी विवेकानंद, इच्छा शक्ति ही ईश्वर शक्ति.
यस.
सो व्हाट यू आर सेइंग इज दैट द पाथ विद नो साइड्स एट ऑल लुक लाइक, मेरा सवाल था कि
यू विल नीड टू टेक अ साइड इन एक्शन.
इधर भी खाई है, इधर भी खाई है.
हाँ, सो एक्शन में चॉइस होगी. इन दैट सेंस एक्शन में चॉइस होगी. यू जस्ट कांट से आई विल गो, देन द थिंग विल बी गो विद द फ्लो.
दिस साइड आल्सो इज डार्कनेस. हाँ, स्मॉल डार्कनेस, हियर इट इज ग्रेटर.
हाँ, बट हियर इट इज इन दिस सेंस दैट यू हैव टू फाइंड द ब्रिज बिटवीन द टू, नॉट लाइक कि आई विल जस्ट स्टे न्यूट्रल. आपको दोनों के बीच में ब्रिज बनाना है बिटवीन द आइडियलिज्म एंड द रियलाइजिंग पावर ऑफ एक्शन. सो फॉर दैट यू हैव टू फाइंड द विल. सो आपका मन कर रहा है कि मैं भगवान के पास जाऊं, विल कह रही है नहीं मदरा ले जाओ, तो वो आपका पथ नहीं होगा. तो वो सच है कि वो दोनों तरफ, ओनली ड्रीमिंग इज नो गुड, ओनली एक्शन अगेन इज नो गुड. सो यू हैव टू फाइंड दैट पाथ विच विल ब्रिज द टू. How to turn your dreams into reality. I'm not going into Vidya because that's a different discussion. So then for that you need a will. Otherwise the greatest resolutions remain hollow words. Then one begins to live in that and that's a khai. Because aap sapne ki duniya mein kho gaye ho. Aur dusra bhi khai hai ki aap andhe jaise kaam karte chale ja rahe ho. Aapke andar gyan ka prakash hi nahi hai. So you have to use the will. कि ये जो ज्ञान मुझे प्राप्त हुआ है उसको मैं कैसे करेक्टली अप्लाई करूं, ये आपके अंदर होना चाहिए. ये बहुत इंपॉर्टेंट है विद इन दिस फ्रेमवर्क ऑफ थिंकिंग एंड आइडिया, थिंकिंग एंड डूइंग. देयर इज दिस विल विच इज मिसिंग. प्योरीफाई दैट विल. तो इसीलिए वो पूरा योग है डिजायर्स को कॉन्कर करना, निष्काम कर्म. तो आपकी विल राइटली अलाइंड होती है तो वो थॉट को करेक्टली रियलाइज करेगी, उसको डायरेक्शन भी मिलेगा, दैवी प्रेरणा मिलेगी. डिजायर्स में जब हम हैं तो दैवी प्रेरणा नहीं आएगी, वो डिफ्लेक्ट हो जाएगी. ओके.